you, Ken. Thanks for the introduction and the awesome music. Got us all in the right spirit. So welcome, everyone. It's the 8th of January here. This is my first gathering of the year of 2017, which I know is going to be an awesome year, as it will be for all of us, free of fear and full of love. So just let's take a minute to welcome everybody, and just everybody out on the radio, welcome. If you want to come join in the room, you're welcome to do that too. But let's just take a minute, say hi, greet each other, chat a little on the board, and then we'll come back and we'll go into our statement of purpose and begin the service. So turning it over to Lynn, our music maestro.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Thanks, Lynn. I love that opening song. So we're now going to present the statement of purpose for Awakening Together. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self, within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols. We seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And I'm going to highlight one of our five core values today, as we do in every service, and I'm picking the second core value, which is we accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. And indeed, as we're going to talk about today, love is what we find everywhere in our heart and in our being when we do let go of that individual self. And that absolute changelessness I've come to really realize as complete and total love and acceptance and just joy. Absolute energy like that. That's really what that is. And the announcements we're going to present today, some of them Ken touched on a little earlier. I'm going to reiterate a few of them here. The big new announcement is that Regina will be facilitating a new group in the sanctuary this Tuesday. And this is a group primarily for people that feel they're committed to want to make consistent progress towards that genuine peace and joy and love of the real self. And she's calling it the Gentle Healing Group. The Gentle Healing Group. And it will meet weekly. And it'll be, specific assignments you'll need to be committed to and practices between the group meetings. So the folks that want to really be a part of this, and I do intend to be one of those folks, a part of it, being committed to it, it meets from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on every Tuesday right here in the sanctuary. So please be sure to attend that first meeting this upcoming Tuesday. That would be on the 10th of January. And also an awesome thing, and this is something that Jacqueline has put together and really spearheaded, this is a first ever Awakening Together couples retreat. And this is going to be in Louisville from the 26th to the 30th of April. And this is a retreat for couples only, and it will be facilitated by John Mark Stroud and his wife Cindy, and assisted by Reverend Jacqueline Eckert and her husband Tom Conway. And Jacqueline's going to have a movie feature that'll be part of it, Awakening to the Movies. So some of the topics that are going to be in part of this retreat are transparency and vulnerability as a pathway to true intimacy, exercising true freedom, the holiness of sexuality, navigating relationship at different stages of awakening, where you feel one person in the relationship might be at a different place than the other. And you'll find a lot more details if you go under the events menu in the awakening-together.org site. And you'll find the full layout and registration for the couples retreat there. And then another announcement, as Ken was mentioning earlier, we do have a big night tonight in the sanctuary. And it begins at 6 Eastern with Kate Greaves. She is a new regular speaker here in the sanctuary. And going to be followed by Regina with her seven steps at 7. And at 8, we are highlighting our very own Karen Wirth. This is a spotlight, speaker spotlight. And she is going to talk about her experience at AHAM. And that's a Ramana Maharshi-based ashram in Asheville, North Carolina. And now, a number of months ago, I did have a chance to go there just for a weekend. And actually, Karen Wirth was there with me. And we had some private darshan with Ganeshan, which was amazing. And you just feel right at home when you go down. It's a wonderful place if you ever get a chance to go there. And Karen spent a much longer time going through a bigger program there, and she's going to present that tonight. I'm looking forward to hearing that. And then, as if that's not enough, we have more. Yes, 9 p.m., we have Martha Creek. This is, we are launching a new 4-week miniseries, and this will, of course, be recorded and up on our website for those that maybe can't attend that tonight or whatever. It is called Self-Differentiated Living and Leading. And some of the objectives are follow an inner compass, take responsibility for self, respond to anxiety, quit being afraid of what others think, quit blaming, quit over-functioning. As a speaker, minister, coach, and facilitator, Martha Creek is often described as having a spirit of innocence, playfulness, compassion, and generosity, all of which support her in being able to deliver a great deal of information in a profoundly simple, humorous, and dynamic way. The practices, exercises, and experiences Martha offers invites participants to approach their inner work as an adventurer with a sense of curiosity and wonder. Join her for her 4-week miniseries right here in the sanctuary beginning tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern. So that is going to be awesome. This is a hugely packed Sunday. This is awesome stuff. So with that, let's just take a moment, and we're going to go into our invocation prayer. Let's just close our eyes and go within. Dear Creator, dear Spirit, dear God, we are so grateful for the gathering here today across great physical distances feeling so united with many minds of a similar nature, of wanting to go within, wanting to awaken, earnestly wanting to awaken. We're so grateful we can gather to receive truth today together. And we know that in receiving this truth together, we amplify it and magnify it within ourselves until it overflows and we share it with everyone. And we know this is our source of safety, our source of strength, our source of comfort. That being that lies within, that is holy, that is spirit, that is God. Amen. So welcome everyone that just came in. We're now going to shift to our reading by Reverend Jacqueline Eckert, who is going to be reading a section out of The Way of Mastery. And this is what inspired me to come up with the topic for today, which is fearlessness is the primary characteristic of mastery. And this is a section called The Primary Characteristic of Mastery. So I'm turning it over to you, Reverend Jacqueline Eckert.
Thanks, Jay. Good morning, everyone. Excuse me, I hadn't spoken yet this morning. can you guys all hear me okay? I got a new mic. Okay, good. So, the primary characteristic of mastery. Fearlessness is the primary characteristic of mastery. Mastery is not having great power to make things happen. It is only the recognition that what is true always, and there is no other choice. Free will does not mean that you have the right to believe that you can succeed at being other than what God created you to be. Having free will does not mean that you can elect not to take the only curriculum that life is offering to you in every moment. It means only that you do have the right to put it off yet another day. And each time you put it off, you slumber in your suffering. But when you elect to take the only curriculum that matters, when you elect to use the power of your free will to say, "Now, from this moment on, I will no longer tolerate error in myself. No more games, no more dreams. I am committed to being only the presence of love, for that is the truth of who I am. It matters not the opinions of others who are yet resisting that decision. Then, indeed, all things under heaven and earth move to support you, to guide you to the right person, the right place, the right book, the right sunrise, the right meadow, in order to assist you in dropping the shackles of the obstacles to the presence of love that you have created as an idol and as a substitute for love. That is why when you truly pray from the depth of your soul, 'God, bring me home,' you may rest assured from that moment on, it is fine to trust every little thing that unfolds. For though you see it not, what you call angels, friends that simply do not have bodies, are rushing about because you have given the command. Yes, I accept your presence in my life. I turn the whole thing over. Now each moment is dedicated to healing and awakening the illusory sense of separation from God that once I created in error. In how many ways have you sought love? Can you count the ways? Would you dare to try to count each little pebble of sand on the beaches of your planet? Each and every soul has already tried to seek out love in that many ways, if not more. You have sought it in a million forms in which you already knew that you could not find it, all because you wanted to perpetuate the insane attempt to try to separate yourself from God. And that is as futile as a sunbeam trying to separate itself from the sun. Indeed, beloved friends, there is only one question you need answer. What am I choosing in this moment? What have I given mastery over my life unto? What perception, what thought, What feeling? Feeling merely flows from the thought or the perception you have chosen. What behavior, what action am I choosing in this moment, and does it express the reality of my being? Am I being busy extending love, or am I busying myself fearfully, trying to grasp at what I think can give me love so that I do not lose it? Look well, then, upon your parents, your siblings, your mates, and your friends. Not one of them, not one of them holds the power to bring love to you. So what are you trying to get from them? Why do you ever insist that another ought to be conformed to what you believe you need? It is futile, 100% absolutely, positively futile to seek love in relationship with anything or anyone. It is, however, quite appropriate to extend love in each relationship with everyone and everything. But the extension of that love requires that you have awakened to the truth that the only relationship that truly holds value is the relationship between you as the soul and God as your creator. Imagine a light bulb in one of your fixtures that looks out from its little filaments and says, "Well, I hope the person that just walked in the door is the right one. If I could just reach out and grab them, maybe my own light would come on." Is it not a lot easier to simply take the cord and plug it into the right socket? How many times are you going to insist on trying to plug your cord into the wrong socket? "Well, that one didn't work. I'll try this body. I'll try this person. I'll try this career." Not getting very much juice from that either. And then you get angry because it is not giving you enough juice, or it gave you enough juice yesterday, but not today. So it must be its fault. There is one little tiny socket into which you can plug your cord. It is the only one that it fits in, and it is the only socket wired to bring you the flowing and living waters of grace. That socket dwells only within your heart. Not the physical heart, but that which is symbolized by the physical heart, the core of your very being. But how many times in each day do you check to see if that the cord is still plugged in? How many times do you remember to ask yourself, "Is my commitment to love, or is my commitment to fear?" Fear is the act of disconnecting your cord from the only socket that can truly satisfy you, and running about trying to plug it into somebody else's or something else's. I would ask you to consider this one question as you look upon the whole of your experience. Has it ever worked? Can it ever work? Imagine trying to hold flowing water in the palm of your hand by squeezing the fingers together. How much are you left with? Does it not just run through the fingers, no matter how hard you try? It finds the little holes and it flows away. You open your hand and there is not enough left there to wet the tongue. Yet each time you have looked upon another, whether parent or sibling or friend or mate or teacher or whatever physical person or object, and tried to plug into that socket to get the juice you believe you need, that is just what you are doing. And you literally end up squeezing the life out of the relationship itself. When you seek first the kingdom and plug that cord into the socket within your heart, when you remember that you and your Father are one, that only love is real and nothing else matters, you will remember that the temptation to find love outside yourself is nothing more than the echo of an old habit, and that habit cannot live unless you feed it. Therefore, feed the only habit that matters, the habit of remembering that the truth is true always, regardless of what is passing before your physical eyes and before your mind. In all comings and goings, in all births and deaths, in all arising and passing away of universe after universe after universe, in the midst of a flat tire or a sudden rainstorm, nothing, nothing holds value except your relationship with your Creator. When you have experienced in relationship with anyone or anything a moment of bliss, a moment of a peace that forever passes all understanding, a moment of fulfillment so sweet and so sublime that no word could touch it, much less express it, what you have experienced is only the flow of the love of God through you. That person or thing did not cause it. It was caused because for just a moment you stepped out of your drama, you stepped out of your dream and allowed the truth to be lived. Then, of course, you tricked yourself into believing, God, that was so sweet. That was the best thing I've ever tasted. It must have come from you. Get over here. I need you. If ever you believe you need anything or anyone, rest assured in that moment you are living in delusion. Thanks, Jay. Thanks for letting me read.
Beautiful reading. Thank you, Jacqueline. You know, when we choose to be here, we choose no delay. And that's how we choose to weaken fear in our mind, is by making that choice over and over again. And that does require practice, and that does require willingness and earnestness, as Regina and I were talking about in the last Michael Langford group. A great deal of earnestness is required for this to occur. You know, and when I do that more and more and more, I learn to trust that. I learn to trust the moment. And like the reading said, plug into it and seek it as a refuge. Seek it as a refuge. You know, fear is always going to be about the future, right? And we go to fear because we think it's going to make us safe to protect ourselves from something unpleasant that we don't want to experience. And at that moment, we unplug from the heart. We take the cord that's powering the light switch and pull it out of the wall right at that moment because we think that's going to make us safe. It's going to protect us from something. You know, as we know through our practice, you know, the opposite is true. It actually puts us in a more unstable place because our mind is shut down at that point, disconnected from our source. I think we're still connected to the source, even though we're just choosing to not be aware of it, just choosing to be asleep. You know, the beautiful thought that came to me was how when we feel love from our awareness and the connection to our own Creator, it's like we pluck a string within ourselves, boing, and that vibrates within ourselves, right? And then if another recognizes it, then that cord vibrates within themselves too, from their connection to the Creator. You know, a really good analogy is when you look out at a tree. It's winter, so no trees really have leaves right now, but I have a beautiful tree outside my condo window, and the leaves just dance together when the wind comes. They're all just having a good time, dancing around. And the connection each leaf has to the tree is through its little stem into its little branch, down the branch to a larger branch, down to the center of the tree, down to the roots, where it pulls out the water. And now as one leaf next to another leaf, blowing in the wind, dancing together, maybe the leaves touch each other and find great thrill as the leaves sort of touch against each other, and they think that's just so fun, you know, dancing around here, playing around. One leaf is not forming a little connection line to another leaf to feed it. That isn't the way it works. The leaves don't feed each other directly. They're just dancing together. The leaves are connected each through their own connection to the branch. They each have their own internal connection back to the source, and yet they play together and have so much fun. And, you know, I think that's like how we are in the world. You know, we're playing together, but we each have our own connection to the source. And when the fear comes in, or as it was talked about towards the end of the reading, we confuse stimulus for cause, right? Me plucking the string is the stimulus. And you as the other leaf, seeing this beautiful loving vibration, can reconnect to your own loving vibration, to your own source. Now, without, this is the way the ego mind tries to trick us, right? We want to think that because of that internal connection that we all have to love and to source, that if that gets stimulated, and we choose to, through our own choice, now this could be conscious or unconscious, right? Choose to reconnect with that, the mind will then come in and say, it's that person's other body mind that did that for you. That's the stimulus, however, which is a very important thing. As we go and vibrate our loving vibration, as we let go of fear, as we choose the moment, we're walking around playing a beautiful song as we emanate that out to the world, to everybody else, to all the other leaves, all the other people. Do we have the power to cause love to be felt in another? No. Can we stimulate that? Can we offer it? Yes. And certainly the chances are, if a person really wants to and is a little bit open, that stimulus, that little beautiful vibration of love stringing, humming along in our own expression is going to be infectious, right? They're going to choose on their own independently to receive that. And you know, a lot of people, and including myself sometimes still, occasionally think and fall into that thinking that it's the other person that is making me feel the love. You know, and I don't go into that often, but it's still there sometimes. It can happen sometimes where I get into that thinking. And, you know, one of my goals right now is to really finish out my process of learning so that I'm fully always rooted in the awareness that it's the source within, and at the same time staying completely connected to everyone who's around me in my environment, knowing that, you know, it's not, you know, that's the codependent thing, right, where we think that we're each responsible for each other's feelings and stuff like that, whereas the opposite of that is true, whereas we're all independently making our own choices, right? We're all independently fueling one commitment or another. We're all, and it's interesting, as I was prepping for this talk today, I intuitively opened the Course in Miracles, as I often do, and guess what section I opened up to? Anyone want to write on the board? Just intuitively. I love how Holy Spirit works. This is Chapter 13, Section 5, The Two Emotions, Love and Fear, right? Of course that's what I opened up to, because there is only two emotions. You know, and it's reiterating the same point of just that analogy of being in a seeming separate space of your own body and mind, and yet being aware of a connection and holding everything as the individual, like we talked about in our second core value. We let go of that belief in the individual self as who we are. And we may seem to be an individual self, but as we're letting go of that, we're discovering something different in the process. We're discovering something different. Our earnestness, our choices, our discipline, our growing mastery of fearlessness is emerging in us as we choose to plug in more and more and more to that love. Every moment, what am I choosing? What am I choosing? Right now, in this situation, you know, in this relationship, in this conversation, in this day, in this trip to the grocery store, in this choice to either, as Regina talked about, go right to work, or take that time for a spiritual recharge, for that practice, the contemplation, the meditation, to do that first before going to work. You know, is it really true that all things under heaven and earth and angels will come to support you as you express the desire? Dear God, I want to awaken. I have earnestness. I want this. I want this. I want to go home. Dear God, bring me home. Maybe it's true that all these angels will come to you and flock and bring that power and bring that energy to your life. I know I experienced that when I expressed that. You know, when I extend love, you know, I've definitely screwed up relationships by wanting to grasp love from the other person. You know, I certainly could probably look at my history of relationships and say that's mostly, you know, what I have. And as I learned to do something different, right, as I learned to extend love, I know my relationships will be different too, you know, as I'm sure all of us will be. And I'm just feeling such a strong commitment towards wanting to practice that and wanting to give and to extend and to build those habits where I am disciplined and I'm practicing. And it's not that our earnestness and our passion and our love is going to come, you know, instantly or all the time or right away. It comes in waves. It comes in gradual steps, you know. You know, because our core is the heart, not the physical heart, but the representation of the center of our being, like the center of the tree. We have to practice and get back into the habit of reconnecting to that space. And then when the big trials come, when the big challenges present themselves in our life, something difficult that the person you're with or a good friend or a parent or a sibling says to you that would have upsetted you, would have caused upset in you, stimulated upset in you before because it would have, you know, tweaked that little thorn that's stuck that still hasn't been purified in your mind, will now do just the opposite and that thorn can be removed. That thorn can be removed because this helps facilitate the process of purification like grease in the wheels. By wanting the presence of God in my life, all of the unconscious fears, all of the unconscious thorns, the Michael Singer thorns that we've built a suit of armor around to walk around in our home, all comes off. And we take the thorn out and we don't mind the little bit of pain that we experience as the thorn comes out, it heals over. And we have that greater presence of love, that greater security, that greater rootedness, like the tree analogy, rooted deeply in. Great winds come and we just bend a little. And we're still rooted in that love because we've practiced it so much. We've, you know, what would it be like? Just imagine for a moment. What would it be like for you to be so rooted in that love? So fearless that you can smile with grace and love when someone, as you would have thought before, is attacking you. Or when you would have thought as before, you lost something. Or when you thought as before, the person you're with didn't act the way you wanted them to. Isn't getting the things you want them to get and figure out the things you want them to figure out. They're just not doing that, and that's causing me so much upset. What if, instead of thinking that, you had this rooted feeling of love and you just felt the tree blow, your little mind maybe bend a little bit, and yet you stayed all that time rooted in love? What would it be like if we were like that? What would it be like if we let those strings of love be played within our own being and they just extend out, being that stimulus, not the cause, the stimulus for others to bring their own cause and their own opening in their own self. You know, isn't that really what the true power is? When we realize that that's where the power is within, when we go within. When we want only what's true, when we want only love, when we know that love is only the only thing that we are, we know love is all that we receive, when we know that love is who I am, when we know that I and God are one, you know, can we do anything to bring love to ourselves? Can we make another do something to bring love to ourselves? Can we really keep love for ourselves? All the forms we choose only are temporary. That love exists beyond those choices. So nothing I do can either make love go away or come in more or less. It's your mind. It's within. That's what matters. Waking up the mind. So build our earnestness, our discipline, realizing that the Christ, the true self, is within. Surrender that false self, the thorns. Let's let those go. Let's commit this year to letting those go. And let that come out and be in our world. And there is effort and sometimes struggle that we need to put forth, right, to get to the place of that. As we face our old habits, our old ways of being, our old sludge that comes up within ourselves, we've got to let it be purified out with the waters. And then we get to the effortlessness, right? We have to earn the effortlessness. There is a kind of effort that is absolutely needed to be put forth. The will of willingness, earnestness, practice, that willingness is good. Not out of a place of force, though. It's important to remember that it must come from a place of true desire, of genuine earnestness. And you'd be better not to force yourself to do something you didn't want to do. We're always better to operate from a passion. And if there is resistance that comes up, but our passion is 51%, we are a majority willing, then that's good. It becomes counterproductive when it's done out of guilt, of course. But what can stimulate that earnestness and that desire and the awakening of that deeper desire and that deeper earnestness is to just get a little taste of the nectar, of that fluid of love that's flowing up within us, just like in that tree. You know, and it's always lived in relationship with the Creator, in relationship to everything I see. Everything I see outside of me that's actually nothing more than that which is within me. That which dwells within me. You know, when I can see an object outside of myself and realize that object is within me and no different than me and it is fully a part of me, how could I have fear? How could I? How could I have any fear about it? Mastery is fearlessness. Walking through the valley of the shadow of death, fearing no evil, you are walking with a rooted center of love through your being that cannot be shaken. That is power. That is fearlessness. That is acknowledging the changelessness of your being. And anything that could be taken away from us that we have to protect or seem to think falsely that we have to protect through fear, and through pulling away only makes us more unstable and is a choice that we can undo and make a different one at any time. And this is what builds the passion, is that remembrance of the love, the remembrance of the love. And that's the refuge. That's it. I mean, that's the key, the refuge. You know, what is inside of us making us work is not all of our doing. There's no little mechanic we've got to keep alive inside ourselves, running those gears to make sure it happens. It's happening with or without that. It's happening outside of the little self. It's happening because it's already there. It's a precondition. It's a given. The presence of unity and the existence of that unity is the reality. It is the reality. And that passion that we offer on, that we may or may not be to varying degrees in touch with that passion can be awoken in you by hearing someone else speak from it. But ultimately, the encouragement is to learn how to bring it up from within self. So you are the master. We're living in a time of many masters. Let's all be masters. Let's all grow together. Let's all help each other by extending that string of love and playing that with each other. And so, it's important that we allow this to move into our feelings. And this is, I guess, what is talked a lot about in the Way of Mastery, about the feelings, and a lot of other teachings talk about the feelings of this, is you do have to let that love move into your feelings, because when you really feel it, it becomes ingrained in the mind. You know, it's that one of the two emotions. It's the love emotion. And all the emotions help to write our brain pathways and wire us, wire the mind and the brain in a certain way. And it does get retrained. We do get retrained in that way when we practice it. And it only builds on itself, right? I mean, we've heard this 1,000 times. And we may want to hear it 1,000 more times. And so we actually, till we get it, until we're the masters, right? And so, the light exists within ourselves, but we can choose to either see it or not. And that's so much power to realize that that is something that we can just simply do at any time in our minds to make a different choice. And these sort of like committing statements like, from this moment on, I don't want to tolerate any more error in myself. No more dreams, no more games. I am committed to being the only presence of love, for that is the truth of who I am. You know, mantra is one of the spiritual practices that is really helpful in helping to cement in the mind a certain thinking, a certain consciousness that can be very helpful. So let's just say that together. Let's just say that together. Now, from this moment on, I will no longer tolerate error in myself. No more games, no more dreams. I am committed to being only the presence of love, for that is the truth of who I am. And let's not worry about if we're going to break this, or how good we're going to do with this commitment, or is it really going to work out. Let's just forget about that for a moment. And just say that to yourself. How can it hurt? It could only build the commitment and that unwavering, cemented, wonderful, rooted, loving tree of power of love that you're rooted within, dancing with all of your other partners and friends and lovers and girlfriends, boyfriends, everything, all of the people dancing together. Rooted. Now, from this moment on, I will no longer tolerate error in myself. No more games, no more dreams. I am committed to being only the presence of love, for that is the truth of who I am. And that's it. That is the message for today. It is complete. So let's take a moment and be with this commitment and be with this energy of this love and the remembrance of the choice that we can make. And we're going to open it up to a meditation now and turn it back over to Lynn for some music. And if you feel guided, you can also put a donation in for Awakening Together. And Ken will put a donation link on the board because he's the admin today. So I'm turning it back over to you, Lynn.
Been running from a pain in me, a feeling I don't understand is holding me down. So rain on me, underwater, all I am, getting harder, a heavy weight I carry around. Today, I don't have to fall apart. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to let the damage consume me. My shadow see through me, cause feeling itself will reel you in and spit you out over and over again. Believe in yourself and you will grow. Now feeling itself.
Wow, that was awesome, Lynn. Thank you. I just added that to my new favorites playlist. Yeah, so this was awesome. Great message of moving through fear, get to fearlessness. You know, that's always a big one, right? Fear. You know, fear of saying the wrong thing. I'm looking forward to hearing what our new Martha Creek's topic, differentiated living and leading tonight. One of the points she brought up that is going to bring up is the quit being afraid of what others think. I know we've all gotten into that at different times. Fear of not being approved of in some way for what we want to say in a relationship and expressing a desire. And it can be really helpful to express rather than hold back, even if it's imperfect, you know. I've learned to let, you know, frustrations and angers out actually very quickly. I try not to blast them at people. I have occasionally. Good place for forgiveness there. But, you know, when you really do that, it opens up the door, right? It opens up the door to just let it go, move it on, get it out there. Realize that maybe from hearing what you said, maybe you can hear, you know, the selfishness behind it. Or maybe you can hear whatever was behind it that you want to let go of. You know, it's the problem is when we hold everything in, you know, fear restricts, right? When we let energy flow and we can let something go, even better yet, some things are more rooted in us and are harder to just let go like that. We need help. You know, we need to work with it. We need help from spirit. We need to get deeper so we can get that full root out, right? The old analogy of pulling the tree out versus the branch or the leaf. You know, the belief in the separate self is the deepest root. You know, and that's what the core value is all about. So please raise your hand. I'd love to hear your thoughts, insights, your own sharing from what came up for you today. Please raise your hand. I'd love to turn the mic over to you. So, a bit of a shy audience today. No one's raising their hand, but everyone is always welcome. Okay, Jacqueline, your mic.
Hey, thanks, Jay, for a great message and a great reading. You know, I find it really interesting that three things are being talked about here in the reading. It's talking about fearlessness and commitment and the extension of love. And frankly, it's equating all of those, which is really cool. So you know, it's like step through the fear, be committed to always in each and every moment stepping through that fear. And extending the love that you are, and that's the ultimate message. And that's when you say I'm no longer willing to tolerate error in myself. The error is failing to extend yourself as love in each and every moment, and that's the error that I'm no longer willing to tolerate. And so it's just a beautiful message. I think it's a message that's going to be followed up on by Regina in her class. You know, part of a big part of her new class is this notion of commitment. I, like you, Jay, am going to join in that commitment to extend the love that I am uncover and deal with the blocks to love's awareness, the blocks to the extension of love through that continuing commitment. It's just a beautiful message, beautiful reading. Thank you so much for letting me be a part of it this morning. Thank you so much for your message. I'll let go of the mic.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that, Jacqueline. I look forward to being in the class with you. So over to you, Reverend Gloria.
All right. Good morning. Do I have sound this morning? All right, perfect. Good morning, everybody. Great message today, Jay. I love the reading. Thank you, Jacqueline, for reading that from The Way of Mastery. It was a great reading, and it really brought out a lot of very good points. So the big word for today is the big C word, commitment. And I noticed that someone posted in the room, it looks like Iris, posted in the room, rooted in God / love. And that is what the big C commitment has been about for me, and what that path will, I'm sure, continue to unfold. In that posting, I would move the / and put it in front of love, because that's the line that I'm no longer willing to go beyond. Right. I'm wanting, at this point, my aspiration is to stay behind that line of God, behind that line of love, and not allow anything in the external, any appearances to pull me over that line. So I just wanted to share that this morning. It was a message that's very much in line with where I am and where I'm headed. So really appreciate the message, and that's all I wanted to share. I'll let go of the mic.
Yeah, thanks, Gloria. That was neat. That was a neat aspiration. Turning the mic over to you, Lynn.
Thank you so much, Jay, and thank you, everyone. Thank you for this great topic. And how I love to hear it and to think about songs. That was the first song I thought of, actually, is that Fear song from Blue October. But one of the things that really strikes me on a regular basis is that whenever I find or have any kind of confirmation from the universe or life or God or whoever you might say, that something is true, that something is right, that something is good, whether it's a revelation that comes to me, just a notion that occurs when something occurs and I feel really drawn to it magnetically, like, yes, this is right. I forget about those things very quickly. Even revelations, even amazing coincidences that could never have happened. Even if I had planned for 1,000 years, things that happen that come together, how very quickly I brush that off and say, oh, that was a coincidence, or, that would have, that is not a confirmation to me of the truth of God's love. And why am I able to do that? Because I am not grateful for those things. I may say, oh, thank God, when something happens. But I don't have a deep gratitude that says, thank you for showing me this. Thank you for helping me understand this. Now I'm going to act on it. I'm going to live my gratitude for this gift by making it a part of my life and following it and doing what I'm being shown and told. Gratitude is the thing that is missing. And when I'm not grateful for these things that come, then I'm suspicious that they will never come again. I believe that God has abandoned me. I believe that the universe is not kind. I believe when I feel myself falling into some troubled place that I have to figure out a way to get out of it myself, forgetting how many times over and over and over and over I was shown that I didn't have to do anything and everything came to me from this powerful divine. And so that's my advice, I guess, if I have any, when things occur that help you out of your fear, don't brush them off and move on. Stop, pause, and be grateful, and take that gratitude deep into your heart, because that gratitude is what is the fertilizer to make that grow and grow and grow. And as that spark of the divine grows within us through our showering it with gratitude, we begin to see more and more that the universe is a friendly place and there is nothing to fear. Everything is taken care of. So that's my thought for this morning, and thank you so much for letting me share. Let me let go of my
mic. That was beautiful, Lynn. I'm going to be grateful for that and throw a little fertilizer on mine and yours and everybody's tree here as well with you. Turning over to you, Regina.
Good morning, everyone, and hello, Jay. I really loved your symbol that you used about the two leaves on the tree dancing and how, you know, they might kind of touch each other as they're dancing and really enjoy that, but they're each doing their own dance, and their dance is coming from the fact that they're connected to the vine. And, you know, I can envision a whole big tree. I have this lovely tree in my backyard, and the leaves are different colors on the back and the front. So when those leaves dance, you really see it because it kind of glitters. And so I can imagine this whole great big tree, you know, with all of the leaves dancing, they're all moving in their own direction, right? You know, connected to the vine, or maybe more truly with the leaves, they're connected to the wind, but the wind is another symbol for the Holy Spirit or the spiritual wisdom. And I think that it's absolutely correct, at least what I heard you pointing to, that, you know, as we go about, instead of being connected to the outward, right, we want to be connected to the vine. And that's where our dance comes from. You know, I've worked with groups of people before who wanted to follow guidance in everything they did, but there was this, what I perceived to be a misperception. There was this misperception that if we each check within, that we should get the same answer. So let's say that we were trying to decide whether to go north or south, and that if we each check within, you know, we should all get south. And if somebody gets north, or half the people get north, that means that we weren't all connected, because if we were connected, we should get the same answer. And actually, if you look at the leaves on the tree, that isn't what's happening. They aren't all blowing in exactly the same way. They're not like synchronized swimmers, right? They're all blowing, and it's making this beautiful, beautiful, this beautiful dance. Or like if you think of the notes in the song, they're all playing, they're different notes, but it's making this beautiful, beautiful song. And I think it's actually fear. It's fear that makes us think that if we all go within, we should all get the same answer. You know, and if we're in like a group vote situation, like we often are on the member board of trustees, if we all go within, you know, we may not end up with the same vote, but there's still going to be a majority. You know, we don't have to fear that we don't have the same vote. There's going to be a majority, and we already know we're going to go with the majority. And I think sometimes what's happened is if we've had a tie, and when we have a tie, we just go back, take two more weeks to contemplate it and come back and vote again, and it always works out. But my point is, guidance is highly individualized at that level. You know, guidance is highly individualized. But if you zoom out, you know, zoom back, and look at everybody's guidance, which may appear to be different. It's creating that beautiful dance, or it's creating that beautiful song. And if we all tried to mimic each other, get the same answer all the time, there wouldn't be a dance. There would only be a straight line, or there wouldn't be a song. There would just be one note playing over and over and over again. So I think that what we need to do is let go of that fear. You were talking about fear. We were talking about, you know, being concerned about what others think of us. We need to let go of that fear. We need to stop looking outward. Am I getting the same thing that everybody else is getting? And am I doing it the way everybody else is doing it? And be connected to the vine. And be that leaf that is willing to dance the dance that is coming through me. And sometimes I will be dancing along with others, right? And then sometimes I will break away and do my own dance. And sometimes I will be dancing with a different apparent group. But if you zoom back and look at the entire tree, there's just this lovely, lovely dance that's going on the whole time. And the reason it's going on so perfectly is because we are all willing to be connected to the vine. Thank you very much, Jay.
That was awesome. That really was really good message to help with the willingness to let go of that individual self as to who we are. And what I heard from you was, even though we do that, just remember that the individual dancing doesn't stop. Even if you're aware of you're connected to the vine, you're just aware that the source is this giant, we're all this giant symphony. And that's such a good, that's so true. We fear that if we, quote unquote, give up the individual self, that we're just going to be robots like everybody else, exactly the same. And you just reminded us that that's just not true. I mean, that's fantasy. That's ridiculous. That's awesome. Okay, Carla, turning over to you.
All right, I have a problem with that. So, you know, it's interesting. I shared, I haven't been coming often. I just got guidance to come like less than a month ago. And I shared like 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I had I was very calm. And I'm not very calm seeming right now for some reason. But what I'm going to tell a little story, is that I was going to come and I was praying and I fell asleep and I had a dream about the sanctuary and the dream woke me up. And that's why I'm even here at all, because I was meant to come here and speak, I guess. So what triggered in me was my commitment. My commitment to myself, to loving myself, I can feel stirring up stuff, loving myself no matter what I choose, no matter what, that is my commitment to know that whatever I choose is just a path of learning to more fully choose again, to choose love, to whatever is helpful in that moment to become closer to the goal and the commitment that I am holding for myself. And I know, I feel it's true that whenever I love myself, the love is going to just spill out onto all around me. And I got this guidance to read this poem that just had this, talks about the leaves in the tree and dancing in it. And I just remember that my thoughts right now, whatever's making me nervous, it's not true. Only love is true. And love is all we are. And that is my intention and becoming more fully aware of that each second and expressing that each second. So the poem is called On Their Way. So I hope this is okay. So here I am, noticing how I seem to be feeling. Disquiet, discontent, unsettled, lack of calm and peace. As I watch this, also the leaves of the tree dance in the soft breeze. That is my heart also dancing. But it is really my thinking mind swaying left, swaying right, seeming discontent, disconnected with thoughts floating through on their way to nothing. So it really seems, I didn't realize it, that's really appropriate to how I'm feeling, how I seem to be feeling. And I'm really grateful for this opportunity to share so I can release those thoughts of truth, that's the truth of me, because that is not, is not who I am. It's not how we're made. We were made innocent. And we are not that way because we have to do anything. We are made that way because that is how God made us. And that is what I'm remembering. Every time it comes up for me, something that isn't true, that feeling that I was feeling that seemed like I was feeling was just an indicator that what I was thinking was not true. And to remind me to choose again, to return to the love that I am and extend it to myself. And by extending it to myself, extending it to everything. Thank you. And sometimes I mess up the unlocking, so you might have to take it back.
Thank you, Carla, for being a living example of that fearlessness and sharing and opening. I'm very grateful. Thank you. And I think you presented a very, very important point that no matter what, how my leaf is dancing, whatever I choose, it's okay. It's my doorway, my pathway, and I've got to just keep going with that love, stay rooted in it. That is absolutely a perfect sharing and demonstration of what we were talking about this morning. That's awesome. Thank you. Sonia, your mic.
Good morning. Can you hear me? Yay. Carla, thank you so much. That was wonderful that you could share. Good morning, Regina. Jay, I wanted to thank you. What a powerful, powerful lesson this was this morning. And I want to join you there. This seems to be the year. George and I were talking about it just the other day. Whatever it was, whatever has kept us so long distracted, so long focusing on other things. Let's go home. Jay, thanks for that invitation. Let's go home. Let's go home together. No more distractions. If there's something that we didn't know was there, let's look at it, get it out of the way, get that thorn out of our paw, and let's go home. Thank you, Jay. What a wonderful way to start this wonderful journey home again. Love you.
You're welcome, and thank you, Sonia, and thanks to Spirit moving through us all. Thanks to that vine, that branch that is in us all, that we're dancing attached to, a part of, inherently extending from, touching each other, you know, while connected to our own source. And so I will join you in that going home. I hope you can join us for the gentle healing class, Sonia. I don't know if you can make that on Tuesdays or not, but maybe you can participate one way or another. Looks like time is up for the gathering this morning here in the sanctuary. This was a powerful morning, amazing sharing. Thank you, everyone that shared. I'm not going to be able to list everyone because I'm going to forget someone. So I'll just say to everybody, thank you for sharing. And I look forward to seeing all of you today. I'll probably see all of you today later on in the sanctuary. So turning it back over to you, Ken. And thanks again, Lynn, for those awesome songs. And love to everybody. All right. Bye-bye.
Face through oak trees in